Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. This is the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, episode 81. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. For 11 years, Five Cat Studio is located in Pleasantville, New York, about 10 minutes from our home here in Chappaqua. It was a 2,000 square foot space with hardwood floors, large windows, exposed structure, tall ceilings. It was fabulous. It was a dream come true for an architecture studio, and we enjoyed being there for all those years. But in November of 2013, Anne-Marie and I decided to move out of that space, and we moved into a new private studio built in our home. Our staff is now located in remote studios of their own, and our 2,000 square feet has been reduced to 200. In order to be the most efficient and effectively communicate with our virtual team, we've adopted several apps to get things done. Today, on the Entrepreneur Architect Podcast, I'm going to share my five tools for pursuing a productive, paperless architecture studio. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is brought to you by the Get Focused Course. 16 videos that will show you how to get things done and live a successful, stress-free life as a small firm architect. Visit getfocusedcourse.com. So, if you've been following me here at the podcast or reading my blog at entrearchitect.com, you probably already know, because I've been talking about it for the last year and a half. Five Cat Studio went from a full-fledged physical office to a virtual studio. We're doing all our work now in our home, in our private studio here at the house. Our staff is located in their own remote studios. The staff that's been with us for years is now working locally from their own remote studios, and we've been working with people all over the country to get our work done. It's a great system. We've saved lots of money moving out of that big studio, that beautiful studio. Cost a lot of money, and we don't pay that rent anymore. And so we've made some major changes here at Five Cat Studio over the past year and a half. And in our previous studio, we had the space to physically store all our files and all our drawings, our paper stuff. We had five vertical file cabinets for payables and receivables and records and all of that stuff. Years and years and years of paper that was too important to throw away. But once filed, never really was seen again. We also had 8 large format flat file cabinets, you know, where we put our drawings for drawing storage and all our active projects. You know, so for completed projects, we had an entire closet full of cardboard tubes filled with archived drawings. It went from the floor to the ceiling, an entire wall of cardboard tubes. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about because I'm sure you have something in your studio, some closet somewhere that you never open until you stuff another tube into it, full of these tubes of paper drawings. It's crazy. And when we moved, the archive went to a storage facility. So all those tubes, all that stuff that we couldn't lose, went into a storage facility. A lot less rent than our big studio, but still have to pay it because we have to save those drawings. And we destroyed everything else that we can legally destroy. Just got rid of everything. We cleared house. We needed to fit 2,000 square feet of stuff into a 200 square foot office. So a lot of it was either given away, recycled, or disposed of. And in time, we'll probably digitize all those files in the storage and eliminate that storage, get all that stuff into the computer and get it all digitized. But in the meantime, my goal is to not add any more stuff to that big pile. Everything we do now is digital. Everything we do is stored on the computer. And on a daily basis, my studio uses 5 basic tools to stay productive and to pursue a paper-free, a paperless studio. That is my goal, 100% paperless. That's my goal. And it's a pursuit. I'm not there yet. I still have piles laying around here and there, stuff that needs to be scanned because lots of paper still comes into my office. But I also have a great scanner that scans all that stuff very quickly. It's a Fujitsu ScanSnap. It's sort of expensive. It's almost $500, but it's a very accurate, very quick scanner. So it sits right next to me here at my studio. And as paper comes in, it goes into that scanner and it goes into my digital files. And what I want to do today is share those 5 tools that I'm using. Many of you are probably using the same tools, similar tools, but I want to talk about how I use them. So the first tool that I use to stay productive and to pursue this paperless studio is Dropbox. I know many of you are using Dropbox. Many of you are using cloud storage of some sort, similar to Dropbox. It may be Google Drive or some other storage, cloud storage. That is the first tool I needed when moving from the big studio, the physical studio, to the virtual studio, because I needed a place to store all our drawing files. At the Pleasantville studio, we had all our files stored on an Apple mini server. That was our server. Originally, we had this big giant tower, this big Dell tower. It was probably 30 inches tall, about 12 inches wide, and about 20 inches deep. It was monstrous. It was very heavy and very big. It had several disks in it. And I replaced that entire server with a mini server, which was the size, it's about, I don't know, 8 inches by 8 inches by 1.5 inches tall. It's awesome. I, as a joke, I unplugged the Dell server and left it in the studio in the server closet. And I took the mini server and I put it on top of the old server. And the mini server now is what I was using as my server for all of my files. And I still use that mini server for archiving. So I use it as a redundant backup. I do lots and lots of backup. I use Carbonite for my backup. Backs up all of my files on my computer as well as the mini. So I move things to the mini server as archives, and I have a Carbonite account that backs up those archives. So I have it on that computer as well as offsite at Carbonite. And then I also have my computer backed up, and my Dropbox is backed up to Carbonite, and Dropbox has their own backup. And so I have backups of backups of backups. So, and I know that Carbonite works because before I left that big studio, I actually had that big crisis where a computer failed and I lost a lot of files. It took me a long time to get them back, but I got them all back. And so it was great to have that Carbonite. Today, instead of using that mini server, we're using Dropbox. Dropbox is now our server. I have a Dropbox business account. And I have a folder format that looks and works just like the folders on the mini server. So I took that same structure that I had on the mini and I just moved it to Dropbox. And we have virtually unlimited capacity and I have full control over who can access each folder. Because in Dropbox, I can set up teams and I can make some of those folders in Dropbox private. So I'm the only one who can access them. And then I can also invite my team to access files. So all the project files are set up on the team folders. And then as I bring on virtual staff, this virtual staff gets access to those projects. It also allows me to have different teams working on separate projects without them having full access to the entire active portfolio. So you can tweak permissions on Dropbox. So Dropbox has become invaluable for us. I also back up all of my photographs to Dropbox, both personal and business. I also have duplicate photos as well because I also use Google Photos. Google Photos and Dropbox both automatically download whatever photographs you take on your iPhone, automatically backs up to both Dropbox and Google Photos. So all of my photos are backed up offsite as well as downloading them to Apple Photos, which used to be iPhoto, now it's Apple Photos. So I have three copies of all of my pictures as well, so I'll never lose those. Now I just have to find some time to actually organize them and turn them into albums so we can actually enjoy them and look at them someday. But they're all there. I have them all, and they're all safe. And so Dropbox is my first tool to stay productive. Having that out on the cloud allows my team to access all of the files that they need at any time. It also allows me to be able to access those files wherever I am in the entire world, as long as I have internet access and I have a device that can access the internet, I can access my files. So I could be at a project meeting and I may have forgotten a drawing or I wanted to show somebody a photograph or I wanted to show somebody an updated PDF file. I could very easily go to my iPad or my iPhone, pull up that drawing and show it to our client right there on the spot and have no problem, no wait. Again, productivity, not waiting, not writing down a note and getting back to the studio and saying, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to remember? Because I've already done it. It's right there. I took it out of my pocket. I showed the client and that task was completed. And so it's a very good tool to stay productive and paperless. So number one is Dropbox. Number two, as many of you probably have already guessed, Evernote. I've talked about Evernote both here on the podcast and the blog. You can check out those episodes. I think episode 75 of the podcast was Evernote, and I talked about how architects can use Evernote. I would suggest anybody who's interested, go check that out. There was a blog post as well. Around that same time, I wrote those on the same week. So when I moved from the Apple mini server to Dropbox, I simply moved all my active project folders from one to the other. So currently all our drawings, all our documents, all our images, reports, everything is on Dropbox and it works very well. And it's just like it's always been. Nothing's really changed other than, you know, clicking on the link to the mini server. Now we're clicking on the link to Dropbox and the Dropbox folders are right next to all our local files. So it's like nothing's changed. But we're trying to be more efficient and more productive here. So we've introduced this second tool here, Evernote. And we're moving all our documents, all our reports, all our billing records, all our payables, all our records, everything that's paper, that's not specifically project based, like the project drawings and the project documents and the photographs for those projects are on Dropbox. And then everything else that runs the studio, all of our administrative files, all my personal files, everything. And I mean everything. I take pictures of my kids' artwork and I put it in Evernote. Everything that I do, everything that I have that is paper, that is not some sort of very priceless piece of paper that I, or very sentimental piece of paper, if it's not sentimental or priceless, it's in Evernote or it's in a pile being ready to be scanned into Evernote. We even have PDF files of all of our construction documents. So we have duplicates of the CAD files. So if we have a final CAD file or a progress set, those are being printed out to PDF files and those are being sent to Evernote. And so we can set those up. Evernote allows us to set up separate notebooks for each project and has powerful tags, which is really, really what's great about Evernote is the tagging system. It allows us to search, you know, very quickly to find the specific document that we're looking for. It even, when you search the documents, it's all OCR'd. I think it's, whatever it is. It's, I forget what OCR stands for. But it recognizes the text that's in the image. So even a photograph that has image text in it, it will recognize that text, and you'll be able to search, and it'll find that image even. So it searches your entire portfolio of documents in Evernote to find the documents that you're looking for. Tremendously powerful search tool in Evernote. And we have Evernote on all of our iPhones, all our iPads, on our desktops, and it all syncs automatically. So wherever I am, I go to Evernote and all my files are right there. Again, so if I'm at a project and I need to find a sketch or a specific detail, anything that's in Evernote, again, I could find it very quickly, very efficiently. It's an incredibly productive tool inside and out of the studio. So the number two tool that I'm using to stay productive and pursue a paperless studio is Evernote. The third one is a relatively new app, new to me. I know it's been around for a year and a half or so. It's called Slack, S-L-A-C-K. It's a communication tool. Slack is taking the place of email in our virtual studio. In our virtual studio, because I'm not sitting across from my staff. In the old studio, I used to be able to walk around and talk to the people who were in the studio. And, you know, if I had a question, I'd just roll over to my project manager and ask them the question. Up until we started using Slack, everything was by email. So if you had a question, you either called them, texted them, or emailed them. And email gets overwhelming. So we were using email for all of that communication. Slack lets you set up channels for each team, so you can put your general team into a channel in Slack, and you can communicate through Slack. Slack, again, records all that, and it's fully searchable. And so if you're looking for a specific conversation you had through Slack, it's very, very easy to find that conversation. You can set up private groups. So if you have specific groups that you want to have conversations with that you don't want the entire team to see, you can set up private groups. And you can set up groups outside of your team through Slack, send them invitations, and set up a separate channel for other people. So if you have a group of people who want to have a conversation about a specific topic, you can set up a Slack channel for that and use Slack and not use email. Email is, my email is very quickly not being used for project management anymore. It was a very, very powerful tool at one time. It was a very important tool. When we first launched the virtual studio, it was the only way that we were using to communicate to one another, on a daily basis. We didn't really use text very much. Anne Marie and I use text a lot, but the staff, we weren't using text. We used phone when we needed it, but we were using a lot of email. And Slack has really, really done a great job of eliminating all of that extra email in the inbox and keeping it in a very easily searchable, very easily recorded, accessible communication tool. Slack, S-L-A-C-K, is number three. Number four, my fourth tool, is a tool called Nosebe, and I'm sure you've heard me talk about Nosebe as well. I use Nosebe. Nosebe is a very powerful project management tool as well, but I don't use it for project management. You can connect projects to your staff and to other people, but what I use Nosebe for is personal productivity. And so I use it as my capture tool. If you know David Allen and Getting Things Done, the book called Getting Things Done, he talks about having a capture tool. So whenever you have a thought that comes into mind, you need a tool that is accessible wherever you are to document that thought so you can get it out of your head and into a capture tool, some way of recording that thought so you don't have to keep thinking about it. So I use Nosebe. Nosebe's on my iPhone, on my iPad, in my desktop, wherever I am, Nosebe is, just like all my other tools. And whenever I have an idea or a thought, I put it into Nosebe, into the inbox. Nosebe also allows you to set up projects, and I do have architectural projects in my projects list, but in Nosebe speak, projects are anything that requires more than one task. So if if you have a specific thing you're trying to get done, and it requires more than one step, then it's a project. It's not a task. And so to have a to-do list of things that you need to get done doesn't give you all the information that you need to be productive. By setting it up as projects, you can take all of the different things that you need to get done, whether they're things to get done today, or they're things to get done in the next week, or the next month, or the next year. You can set up a project for each one of those items that need to get done. And then you can set up the tasks required to complete each one of those projects in Nosebe. Very easily sorted. It allows you to use labels and tags. And the part that I love best about Nosebe is that once I get all of that stuff in there, because it's a big long list now, because maybe I have 50 projects that are going on. I bet you have close to 50 as well, if you think about it, of all the things that you want to get done, whether they're things to get done today or a week from now or this year. I bet you have close to 50 of them. And I have close to 50 projects. And inside those projects are lists of tasks that need to be done at some time to get those projects done. What makes Nosebe so powerful is a feature called priority. There's a little star in the task in this task list in each project. You can click the star and it becomes a priority. And what that does, the way I use it, is that the things that I need to get done today, I click star. And so every Monday I go through my projects list. You've heard me talk about my Mondays. It's also part of the Get Focused course. I talk about Mondays. Every Monday, I schedule my week. I go through all of my projects. I schedule the first half of every Monday. I don't schedule meetings on Monday. I schedule time for myself to organize my week. And I go through each one of these projects that I have in Nosebe. And the things that I need to get done this week, I click the green star. And then when I go through all of those projects and I click on the left column, I click the priority button, all of the things that I've starred are now in one screen. So I can see all of the things that I need to get done this week. Those are my priorities. And usually there are probably four or five things that I need to get done this week. Those are the most important things. Those are the things that I consider the things that matter most this week are my priorities. And I click the green star and they come up and I know what I need to do this week. And so that's Nosebe. Nosebe has a lot more involved in it. But what I love about it is that I can use it very simply. And my focus on my productivity system, if you've taken the Get Focused course, you'll hear that my goal is to keep it simple. Keep it as simple as possible. So many of these courses and so many of these systems and these gurus talk about these systems that are so complicated to figure out. If you look at the Nosebe tutorials, it sounds so complicated. Just use the things that matter to you. Just use the things that make your system work. And so I use projects, inbox, and priority. And it's a great way for me to capture all of my ideas, all of my thoughts, get them into a great tool that organizes them very, very well. And then allows me to also prioritize my work. In the Get Focused course, I actually have a bonus video that shows you exactly how I use Noseby. I go through on the screen how I use it, how I set it up with colors and labels and all, you know, entree architect work, five cat work, my personal work. It's all there. I show you exactly how to do it. So I just wanted to mention that. So that is my fourth tool for productivity and pursuing a paperless studio. The last one is the next step, basically. After I know what my priorities are, that's great. I have a list of my priorities. The next thing that matters is to get those priorities scheduled. Because if you don't schedule it, it won't get done. And so my next tool is iCal. I'm on Mac, as many of you know. I'm all Mac, no more PCs anywhere in this house. So iCal is my fifth tool, is my calendar. Actually, it's not iCal. I've recently upgraded iCal to Fantastical, which is an app for the Mac. Fantastical 2.0. It is a paid app. It's not free. It syncs up with iCal, so everything that's in your iCal will come up to your Fantastical. I love the graphics and the interface for Fantastical. It's a beautiful tool, and it links to Noseby, so you can actually set specific dates in your priorities or in your projects, and it automatically comes up on Fantastical. It also allows you to very quickly input your schedule items, and so you can type in the words, the task, repair car on Tuesday at 2 p.m. And it will automatically put it on Tuesday at 2 p.m. You don't have to click all the buttons and set up the little things. You can do that too, but it's very, very intuitive. It understands what you're writing. It also allows you to do it with voice. And so you can talk to it and it will put those items into your calendar just like a personal assistant. So it's becoming my digital personal assistant. I love Fantastical. So my fifth tool for productivity and pursuing a paperless studio is Fantastical, linked up with iCal. So those are my five. Those are my five tools for pursuing a productive paperless architecture studio. Number one is Dropbox. I put all my files up in Dropbox, all my project files. Evernote, everything else goes into Evernote. My whole life is going into Evernote. Make sure you check out that episode 75 at the Entree Architect podcast is all about Evernote. Slack is number three. I use more and more of Slack every day. It's really becoming a very, very powerful communication tool. Noseby, I love Noseby for my task management. That's the way I keep my stress down. It's the way I keep things getting done. And Noseby linked up with Fantastical, the two of them together are my life. Everything that I do, everything that I have to do, everything that's getting done is on those two apps. And it's really, really powerful. I know exactly what I need to do and when I need to do it. I get things done when they need to get done. And my stress level is rapidly decreasing the more and more I develop these systems. So those are it. Those are my five tools. I wanted to also mention, I did mention a little bit about the Get Focused course. It's 16 videos of everything I know about productivity and getting things done and how to live a stress-free life. I'm not going to get into the depth of it. If you'd like to know more about the Get Focused course, go to getfocusedcourse.com. 16 videos of everything I know, from creating a morning ritual to how I use my Mondays to set up a successful work week, the best way to process and manage my to-do list, learning which tasks should not be on your list and how to get other people to do it, how to delegate. I give you information on that, how to conquer procrastination once and for all so you can get it out of your life, because I know that's your biggest problem is procrastination. What to do when your inbox is exploding and stealing your day away. I got information in there for that. I even list my productivity tools, my favorite books and of time management, and everything that that I know, my five favorite books, my five favorite productivity tools, which some of them are different than what I just recommended here. So if you want to know more about that, go to Get Focused Course. And I also want to share a secret. You ready? You can get that course for free. You can get that course for free. You can get the Entree Architect Hybrid Proposal Course, where I show you how to develop your own owner-architect agreement, including the templates. I give you the templates and the foundations, business forms, and checklist, everything you need to run a small business, a small architecture firm business. It's all in the Academy. If you join the Academy, if you join Entree Architect Academy, it's my private membership community for small firm architects. Every week, we gather for a live video conference call with me and all the members of the Academy. There's about 50 of us now. We talk candidly about all this stuff that makes us successful, and we help one another succeed, and we support one another when we need a boost. It is a great community. We're becoming friends, and it's amazing. It's really, I love what's happening in the Academy. I love watching the members grow and succeed. And you get all of that stuff. You get the Get Focused course, you get the hybrid proposal, you get the foundations, you get the video conference, and you get access to every other course that we ever develop as long as you're a member. So if you're interested in joining the Academy, check out entrearchitect.com/academy, or just go to the blog and you can click on the link on the upper right side of the page. It's there. So you can just go. It says Entree Architect Academy. Join us, and you'll be able to join Entree Architect Academy. And I'd love your thoughts on being productive and the pursuit of a paperless studio. Do you use any of the apps that I mentioned? I'm sure you're using something similar to Dropbox. Pretty much everybody's using something similar to Dropbox these days. Evernote is rapidly being adopted by architects. Do you have any tools that are making you more efficient or more effective that I didn't talk about? I'd love to know what you're using, what I should be using. I'd love to share it with the community, the Entree Architect community. So go to entrearchitect.com/episode81 and leave a comment. Share your thoughts. The more we share as architects, the more we give away, the more transparent we are, the more we're all going to grow. The entire profession will grow from the small firm up when we share. So go to entrearchitect.com/episode81 and share what you know. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope it's worth your time to listen to me every week. I really appreciate you putting your earbuds in your ears and letting me talk to you for a little while. I really enjoy doing this podcast. I really, really hope you enjoy it as well. And I'd love to know what you think. So if you go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes, that's a link that I'll get you right over to the iTunes page, and you can leave me a review, because that's how I get other people to listen. And that's how I get feedback on whether I'm doing a good job or not. So go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes. If you haven't done it yet, please go right now. Go do that right now and just leave me a very quick review. It's not very long. It means a lot to me. It makes me feel good. And it helps other people find us here. And it helps Entree Architect grow. And that's a good thing for everybody. So that's a wrap. That's a wrap for today's show. You can get a download of this episode at entrearchitect.com/episode81. Or you can go to iTunes and subscribe in iTunes. And it'll come to you automatically every week. Before we go, you know, every week I give you a quote of the week before we truly wrap up. I know I got that backwards. You know, I know I say we wrap up and then I give you the quote of the week. I don't know why I do that, but I do. It's in my notes here, in my Evernote note that I'm looking at here. So quote of the week, it's a quote from David Allen, author of Getting Things Done. And it's much like, it's all about the capture tool. His quote is, "Your mind is for having ideas, not holding them. Your mind is for having ideas, not holding them." So you need a capture tool. You need some sort of tool to get those ideas out of your head so you don't hold them anymore, and you have them. You can create new ideas by getting your old ones out of your head and into a capture tool. So David Allen's quote is, "Your mind for having ideas, not holding them. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I appreciate you so much for being here. I'm an entrepreneur architect, and I'll see you next week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.